Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex and Pete.
Cut that music. You cut that music off. Cut it off. I don't want to hear that music. I'm Alex.
I'm Pete.
This is weird. I'm normally the angry one.
I don't know. It cut off the music for a second. It freaked me out.
Yeah, it did.
That's the man of the booth. Booth Man Prime.
Booth Man Prime.
Sorry, that gentlemen. Guy. We're keeping you on your toes.
It's yeah, you are.
It's all right. You're always keeping us fresh. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. You guys might notice our dude in the middle, Justin, is actually gone today.
He's dead. I killed him.
Yeah. So Luke Cage got canceled.
And in a rage, I accidentally killed Justin.
Which
so I'm sorry.
Which I think is totally fair and reasonable.
Well, he had it coming. I mean, it's been years in the making, so yeah, I finally snapped.
I didn't see that it would happen because a TV show got canceled, but I guess I should have.
Yeah, you should have seen it coming.
The other thing that we should talk about is your T-shirt, Pete.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yes, you're wearing a comic book T-shirt that you made yourself because
you're right.
So excited about it.
That's right. Murder Falcon is a new comic by Image, and I fell in love with it. And you shouldn't do this after reading one issue, issue one of a comic, because it could go downhill, and I've made a T-shirt, and it's too late at that point. But I'm all in on Murder Falcon.
So we've been doing the show for 13 years, right?
Yep.
In that time, how many times have you made a shirt about a comic book?
One other time.
Whoa, one other time. What was the other time?
Hellboy. Out of Hell that he did. Uh-huh. I took one panel and made a T-shirt.
Okay.
It says, "Leave me alone, lady. I've been drinking with skeletons," I think you said.
Oh, okay.
Which was such a cool line, I wanted to put it on a T-shirt.
Nice. So what does this one say for those listening at home on the podcast?
It says, "Yes, as this is the first time the main character has picked up his guitar after years of anguish, and this is how Murder Falcon gets his powers, by the metal that is when someone plays metal in a guitar."
Yeah, it's
he
very
gets
nice
his
and subtle.
Murderous it's, powers.
It's on the wrong side of the shirt. Should be on the pocket side, but that's fine.
You put I like this side better.
Yeah, but that's the wrong side. Let's talk about the back.
To you, it's the wrong side. To me, it's the right side.
To everybody. What about the back of the shirt?
The back has just got the Murder Falcon and a dude chilling on a van talking about life, man.
Yeah, it's,
you know?
It's pretty sweet, man.
Yeah.
That's a pretty sweet shirt.
It's a sweet comic book.
Yeah. Are you, and of course, you're giving part of the proceeds that you paid to the creators of the comic book, right?
No, I use my own money. I'm not selling these.
Oh, so you basically stole their images.
To celebrate them.
For your shirt that you stole.
Yep.
All right.
Seems cool to me.
It's not. It's called theft.
Nah, is it, though? Am I profiting in any way off of this? Am I taking... I'm not allowed to take my own money and then make something from somebody else's art.
No, that's fair. On an unrelated note, I'm selling Murder Falcon shirts after the show outside. Guys, I'm very excited about the guests that we have on the show. They are the co-creators of the new musical Mary and Max, based on the animated film. One of my favorite animated films, so I'm very excited to talk about it.
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bobby Croton and Crystal Skibbe!
Yeah! Welcome to the show! Welcome. Have a seat. Have a microphone.
Please.
Great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for coming here. And thank you so much for coming here. You are just back from Calgary, right?
Yes.
Like mere days back from Calgary.
Yesterday? Did I get back yesterday?
Yeah, you got back yesterday. Today is Sunday.
Sunday night.
Today's Tuesday.
Yes. Sunday, very late. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Calgary's in Canada.
Alberta.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So
very
time
Western.
Has no meaning once you've come back from Canada.
Right.
It really doesn't matter.
It's like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. So was this the premiere of the show out there?
It was the world premiere, yes.
Wow. Congratulations.
How'd that go?
Very much. Thank you.
It was a dream. It really it was incredible. You know, it's a giant theater, it's a Broadway sized house. And
about 800. Seats about 800. Yeah.
So we should start at the beginning, like, how this all came to fruition, because it was a movie first that you guys saw and then were just so moved you were like, I got to do something with this? Or like explain it to how it all happened.
Yeah, I saw the film.
Okay.
A friend suggested that I watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it was claymation.
Okay.
So I just started watching it and thought, oh, I'll watch 5 minutes of it. And 2 hours later, I was in a puddle of tears texting my agent saying, help me get this property. It sings to me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's black and white claymation too, yeah. So really unique. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a animated film. It came out at this point what?
It came out in 2009.
Right.
Is when it premiered at the film festivals.
Yeah.
And it sings to you, but it wasn't. There's no singing in the film.
None.
Okay.
No.
You guys added that part.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Okay. Cool. Just try to make it clear for people.
Sure, right. Sure. Okay.
And for those who don't know the plot of the movie, do you want to talk them through what the idea of the story is?
Sure. It's really about this young girl. She's 8 in the film. She's 10 in our show, who's in Mount Waverly, Australia in the 70s. And she has a bit of a quirky life. Her best friend is a rooster. But she's in dire circumstances. Her mother is a kleptomaniac and an alcoholic, and she has no one to ask her questions to, and she's quite lonely. And aww. Through circumstance, she finds the address in the phone book while her mom is actually shoplifting at the post office. She finds the address of Max Horowitz, and she by accident rips the page out and decides to write him a letter, because obviously there's no internet yet. And in writing that letter, Max receives it. It turns out Max Horowitz is 44 years old. He's 350 pounds?
Something
close to the, yeah. He's almost as tall as a 6-foot tree, and he doesn't know it at the time, but he has Asperger's syndrome. So anything different in his universe causes disorder, which is something Bobby's wonderfully musicalized in the show. It's really, really effective. And so it's a real choice for him to try and write back to her, and when he does, they begin this friendship where she asks questions and he has answers, and they learn things about each other throughout the show, and they're the kind of the only friends each other has, and the question is, will they ever meet?
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you guys end up getting hooked up together for this musical?
I've known Crystal for years. We've been fans of each other's work, and mm-hmm. I knew that Crystal was the right person to keep the quirkiness of the piece. I'm all heart. And I love working with Crystal because she brings out my inner quirkiness. And I just knew that she would be the right person for it.
It actually is comic book related, why you asked me, because my play Geek, which is set at a Comic-Con, which is the first time I really used comic book culture to the extent of my life, from being a booth babe to now like writing comic books, that was happening with Vampire Cowboys, Qui Gwyn's company. And so Bobby saw that, and he was like, we have to work on a musical.
Yes. I just loved her, the world that she was able to create. I sometimes think people take a film and they put it on stage, and it's just like watching the movie, but with songs in it.
Right.
And something that I wanted to do was create a theatrical universe that would, how do you put claymation on stage? It's impossible. So we were taking these figures and making them human, but they are very unique, really quirky people. And the universe itself is very unique. Like, it starts out with the moon singing to us.
Oh, wow.
And he's playing the guitar. And in a way, he's like a balladeer throughout the piece.
Now, to give those who haven't seen the movie a little more of an idea, the animation style isn't like, it isn't a roller coaster ride. It's not for kids or anything like that. It's more,
no, it's very
more
dark.
Like in it's the dark. Aardman style a little bit, or
yeah,
closer
so
to
he,
that?
His name is Adam Elliott. He won an Oscar for his first piece called Harvey Crumpet, and that was a short. So Marion Max was to be his first big feature-length film. And when he put it in front of test audiences, they didn't love how dark it was, but that's the story he wanted to tell. And so he refused to make changes. And in fact, it didn't get an American release. I saw it on Netflix.
Oh, it's on Netflix right now?
I don't know if it still is. It goes on. You can find it on YouTube.
It's okay. Definitely on iTunes. Yeah. It's definitely become a bit of a cult
definitely,
movie.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Not to, I'll very briefly interject myself into the story, but in a previous life, I was a film reviewer, and I saw it in one of the few screenings that they had in America, because I was supposed to review it for the site I was working for. And I love the film. Absolutely love
awesome.
It. I don't think you could still find my review online, but I actually searched for it recently when
I found
you guys were on the show, and I was like, oh, I kind of want to read it back to reorient myself with what I thought. I couldn't find it, but somebody had done a college presentation on doing a film review on my film review of Mary and Max, which is real weird.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
So you can't find my review of it online, but if you want to read a PowerPoint on doing a film review on Mary and Max, please check that out.
It's so meta. I love it.
Yeah, super strange. But I that film is fantastic, has definitely stuck with me. But like you said, taking a film and putting it on stage is a very different thing. So what did you have to whittle away? What did you have to change to make it work from stop motion animation to a musical stage show?
Well, one of the first things we had to do was figure out what the want, the need of the characters were, because in the film, it's not actually very clear. And so we made it that their need is that they want to meet.
Cool.
That they're looking, they each, without realizing it, don't have a friend. And then when this friendship starts to blossom, it becomes, will I meet this person? And that becomes a big question in the film of what is it to be a friend? Does it have to be someone that you see all the time, or can a letter be the thing that inspires you to keep moving
and
forward?
And how are you there for each other? You know, and a lot of, I think it was a real gift in getting to work on the book, you know, or the, you know, the dialogue and working with Bobby on the structure of the piece. There's a lot of songs in it, which is so cool to me. There's about 30. And some are short and some are long, and it depends on what the moment is. But because it's a non-traditional musical, for instance, one of the most engaging moments of the show is where Max is trying to make his decision. Should he write her back? And a typewriter comes up from the floor, and it's just all instrumental, and it's timed to the typewriter. So it goes dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And so even just that moment, there's not even any lyrics. It's a musical theater moment that's so cool and unexpected, you know. So, you know, we were looking at all these little moments and then how did they make the larger picture? But we have a lot of freedom because it's a character-driven piece. And as well, there was heavy narration in the film. So actually, which is great because Max's voice is pretty clear in the film, and when Mary's a little older, we hear some of her dialogue, and there's a lot of gems, and I'm always trying to, I consider when I work with characters that are always created, like franchise characters, that they're toys I get to play with, so I'm trying to also pay homage to them. So I'm trying to get those amazing lines in, but at the same time, I have a lot of freedom because there wasn't a lot of dialogue between the characters because there was this voiceover. So I had to write scenes. I had to write new dialogue, and in doing that, they got more fleshed out. So in the musical, there's a big arc to Mary's relationship with her mother, and she actually does call her on her alcoholism, and it's actually the demise of the mother in some ways.
Oh, wow.
How much did you work with a filmmaker on it, or not at all?
So in order to get the rights, I had to, because what I found out is they get offers for the rights every week. And
oh, wow.
I was the first person to ask about musicalizing it. Other people wanted to do a play. Right. And he just became intrigued that someone thought that it could sing. So we started corresponding, and through email at first, and then we did a Skype interview that was about 3 hours long. We laughed, we cried.
Oh, wow.
Oddly enough, he doesn't own the property, but he was able to give the person that owns the property like his highest recommendation of, I think this is the guy that can do it.
Wow.
And then I met with her in London. It took almost 2 years to get the rights.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, when you guys started tackling the script and the music, you said the show and the movie are very much about friendship. How much did your friendship play into it?
Aww. A lot.
A question.
Our friendship has actually like really grown, especially over the last year.
Things
became, you know, once it was clear that we were getting a production and then we won this big award, and now there's talk of another production, international, which is all I can say.
Ooh.
That it, you know, in the writing of something, in the creating of something, you push each other, and luckily we're both crazy workaholics, so deadlines are never a problem.
Oh, wow.
But once we were in actual rehearsal, it became clear that the best way to get work done was to be a friend and to say,
yep,
you can do this. I know that this sucks and this is hard and you're going to stay up till 5 a.m. to do this, but you can do it. And then she would do the same to me. If anyone can write it, it's you.
Aww.
So we found a way of like really supporting each other that made the, you know, we'd be in rehearsal for 10 hours and then have a note session and then go home and have to work. And sometimes we would eat. I tended to eat tubs of frosting, which is a true statement.
I did make a cake to go with the frosting because we had a lot of frosting.
It would keep me awake. I needed the sugar.
Right,
Yeah, but it never be... I think because we are friends and we get each other, we also understand how we work. Crystal likes to go off and do... And, you know, music-wise, I need some headphones to just go and mm-hmm. play around for a while before I can present something to somebody. So we gave each other enough space, but we're always there to catch or to push.
Yeah, we speak each other's language. We both are brave in the room, which is great, and it's something I try to teach my students too. It's playwriting students. It takes time, but it's not about being the smartest person in the room. It's about listening and taking in, and then trying to make the best choices with your team. And our set designer said, Bretta, and I think she put it wonderfully, she said, the best idea in the room wins. And we've always been working that way for a long time. So we're not precious about stuff, and we're not like, it's not about, well, I need more time for the book, or I need more of song time. We're looking at how it all works together. So I think that's pretty exciting. Also, Bobby really knows pretty well, speaking of comic books, my comic book references. I think, I cannot remember the exact line, but I was getting frustrated at some point trying to figure out a scene thing, or talking through it. I think I said something like, I am Wonder Woman, but I'm not Superman. And I still don't exactly know what that means.
That's awesome.
But I did say it.
And I said, moment. I was like, yeah. You're wrong.
You're wrong.
You are Superman.
And Wonder Woman. I think what I was referring to was the film where he turns back the Earth. And I was like, I don't think I could turn back the Earth right now, but I can jump really effectively on the shield. I think that's what I was trying to say. Mm-hmm. But the other thing was at some point, and this, I actually think this is very true.
Rewrites are like, for a second, I think you guys ate too much frosting.
It could have been.
Just a little bit.
But also, there was one point where we're doing another rewrite of something on the, you know, we're nearing the end, and I was like, and every day, you know, you'd come, and then, you know, we were so close, you know, and it, everything would be perfect, but then it would expose this one other thing. But now we're like 72 hours away from opening, so, you know, we're finessing, and I think at some point I said something like, it's like you have to wake up every day and blow up the Death Star, but like over and over and over again. Like there are 500 Death Stars.
Wow.
Like it's not just one.
That's intense.
It's intense. But that's rehearsal, I guess.
Yeah. Wow. How did it end up in Calgary?
Our director, who we'd been working with from the very beginning, Stafford Arima, he did Altar Boys and Bear and
Carrie. He did this incredible revival of Carrie on stage, very bloody and effective
and very
and
real.
Moving. Yeah,
very. You know, that's what he's all about, is you know, telling the story simply but honestly and letting the audience actually feel something. And he had been developing the show with us. And we did our first presentation, full presentation, at the Alliance Theater in Atlanta. And he had invited people from Theater Calgary, where he was about to announce that he was going to be their new artistic director.
Oh, wow.
So he flew them in to see our reading, and at intermission, they made us an offer.
Oh, wow.
For the
it was
following
a really
so
great
you
intermission.
Shut down the show. You're like, get about the second half.
You don't need to see the rest.
We're good.
Yeah. That's an amazing intermission.
Yeah. So you took the show up to Calgary. For people who don't know,
it's playing there now.
Yes, it runs until November 11th or 12th. Oh, wow.
Yeah. If you're in Calgary and listening to this, go check it out.
Go right now.
What for those who don't know about the theater process, so you guys wrote the show, you put it up, and then what is the process like leading up to that Calgary production?
Yeah, so a normal, nothing is normal in musical theater.
It really isn't.
A regular musical takes 5 to 10 years to be developed.
Wow.
We got our offer right at year 4. So that was
pretty early, actually.
Yeah, it was really a healthy thing for us. So we also won an award at Pace University that gave us a month-long workshop of it this past January.
Oh, nice.
So we were able to that was the first time we ever saw it on its feet. So we did some, but, you know, it was in a space this big and was with college students. Now, mind you, they were incredible college students.
Just for those of you listening at home who have never been to this space, it's... What would you say, like the size of a Madison Square Garden type thing?
No, I would say it's a little smaller.
A little smaller.
It's like a small black box theater that maybe holds 50 people.
Oh, or that. Okay, go ahead.
So we would say during rehearsals at Pace, we would say, well, for the $1 million production, we will do X, Y, and Z. And then we get to the $1 million production, and we say things like, well, for the $10 million production, we will have the bird actually fly, things like that. But... yeah, so we've been just developing and cleaning, getting ready for the world premiere production. You know, it was our first time on a major set with a lot of the show, because it's letter writing, and they always enclose gifts to each other. So we both felt that it was important to be able to see these things.
Right, yeah.
So we used a lot of projections to help advance the storytelling.
Yep.
So it's playing there now. I think I know the answer to this, but do you feel like great. We're now we're done with the show. We're happy with it. No?
No.
Okay. We're still thinking through things we want to do for the next production. Like, it was this incredible, we're so happy with it, but it allowed us to see it fully in this form.
Like, next production, we want to add two more actors to it.
Wow.
Those 10 people had to do an extremely ridiculous amount of work. Wow. And having two more people would just remove a little bit of the burden.
Sure.
And it would allow our principal characters to not have to also sing in the ensemble numbers. Because I heard, just from watching the film, I just heard this world that both of them in a way share. This world that is quite busy outside, but inside by themselves is this empty silence. So how the outside world influences them is reflected in the score, and then when they meet, their music it actually changes. And I know this is all like music nerd talk, but
still,
because
amazing.
Max has Asperger's, I wanted to write in a musical time signature that was just a little off for our year. So
cool.
A lot of his material is in 5/4 or 9/8.
Wow, man, you really thought this through.
I did.
Yeah.
Wait, you didn't just toss it off?
Huh. No.
That's a weird saying.
Has the filmmaker seen the production, or?
He has seen the B-roll, is that what it's called?
He saw the images in the trailer,
yeah,
and
the trailer,
the songs.
That's what it
and
is, yeah.
He
and
loves
he's heard
it.
a lot of the demos, and he really does love it. He's surprised that he wrote us this beautiful letter that I read to everyone at opening night.
Uh-huh.
But he's just surprised that, because it's his story. It is a true story.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And that was another thing that just really, from the very beginning, when I was watching the film, I just kept going, I can't believe this is real. Like, this actually happened. And, you know, one of the big themes in the show is that nothing is an accident. And it's just, you know, something that I've always believed in my life. And so to be able to take that and put it into a musical form for these characters who the mother calls her an accident.
And really that's the inciting incident of the piece in a lot of ways is that, you know, Mary is still trying to communicate and ask questions, and it's kind of a colorful world until that moment. She doesn't even fully understand what her mother does. She knows it's called borrowing day. She knows she's supposed to keep a lookout, and her mom's pockets are getting more full while she's putting things in them. But it's still done for more of a comedic effect. It's a dark comedic effect. Mm. But then she says, why don't I have any brothers and sisters? And her mom, just on a dime, the mom terms, and it's true to the film how it's done, just says, because you were an accident.
And the audience every night that
different
we were there
different.
Gasped. Some people laughed.
Yeah,
people
don't
know how to
react.
Oh, no, no.
There's a lot of verbal reaction to the show. I've seen it now. So I've seen about a week, starting from The Invited Dress until, you know, about four previews and then opening. And so I try to sit as far back as possible and listen.
Smart.
And watch. And, you know, a lot of, like, they were like, oh, my God. They're like, he's going to leave her. What's happening? Like the people were talking a lot. I was like, wow, cool. I was expecting maybe a more conservative crowd.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure.
Like,
and I was
golf clapping.
Really impressed.
Well, that's, Canada is known for being brash and in your face.
Yeah.
Talking a lot about, so not that surprising.
Well, it speaks a lot to how good it is that you're getting that kind of reaction. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, you have this other production you can't quite talk about coming up, but what is the end game for a musical? Is it always going to be Broadway or off Broadway, or are there other paths at this point?
No, Broadway is a dream.
Yeah.
So is the West End, and I would love the production to be in Australia because it's an Australian
film.
Right.
Yeah. Sure.
I think so unique about the piece is that while it is set in both Australia and New York City, it is so universal. Everyone understands the themes within the show, feeling left out, feeling bullied, feeling not... She has... Mary has a birthmark
right.
on her face. And so, like, the feeling of not being attractive enough, and maybe that's why someone is not paying attention to me. It's just so... And also, in the film, one of the first things that you see is a quote that says, you can't choose your family, but you can choose your friends. And I think anyone really can understand that idea, how important friendship is.
It's a story about two outsiders, and so I think that relates so much to people who want to connect. And
which
know.
Is everywhere, you know? This is in a time before cell phones and before everyone was just connected digitally.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we've had interest from theater in China as well, where the film is actually even more of a cult hit. So I think it's something, for me, yes, Broadway would be great, but that's not the be-all, end-all. Okay. I just want the show to continue to be seen and have people experience it. You know, people walk out of the end of Act One and they're laughing and excited, and they walk out at the end of Act Two and they're, you know, holding crying tissues over their faces and and making them actually think about, maybe I should do something before it's too late.
It's structured a little bit like Into the Woods in the sense that the first the first part really presents the story, and you really, you know, we believe they're going to meet, and then there's the consequences of what does it mean to be a friend in the second act. And so there's moments for more dark, it gets more spare, there's actually more scene work in the second act, and so it really does have a balance between the dark and the comedy in a way that speaks to one another. It's very European in that sense too. Yeah. Like it really has a sophisticated but such fun comic booky. You know, it really has retained that comic book sensibility on stage because there are moments that are a very quick gag that we just see visually, like he wins the lottery at some point, Max. And so it's like, and he's just learned he has Asperger's syndrome. And so they sing Aspies, Aspies can be winners. And a big pile of chocolate comes on. And he's like, yes. And he's like, that's one of my dreams. And then a whole pile of Noblets come on. And that is the little Smurf-like characters he likes to collect. They both love this show called The Noblets. Oh. And then he turns and he's like, oh, a real friend. And he looks at his typewriter, and it hasn't been used, and he realizes he hasn't written Mary in all this time. So there's these moments that are very comic booky, get you, you're laughing, and then it hits home. And that's something else I forgot to mention in terms of the comic book angle, is that the Noblets are a big part of... they're a big part in that they both watch this TV show called The Noblets while he's in New York and she's in Australia. We just see a little illustration of them. They kind of remind me of like the Happy Elves a little bit from The Simpsons in that sense. Yeah. You only see them, they live in a teapot. But we really fleshed out those episodes. So you see about three episodes or so show, and you see them watch them, and what we've developed them as is that they're learning from the Noblets, and so it helps move the story forward. But it's done in a very colorful way, and they're probably some of my favorite sequences. I'm just kind of obsessed with one day getting to write the Noblets TV show.
That's what was like my childhood. I used G.I. Joe that way. You know, learned a lot.
You know, learned a lot. You know, the more you know.
Yeah, the more you know stuff. It really helped me out.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's running at Theater Calgary until November 11th. But you're working on a comic as well, right, Crystal?
Yes, it's called Eat Fighter.
It's really good. I love it.
Yes, and it's my first experience with Webtoon, which is, I can't recommend it enough. Before I even started writing, and this is written with Fred Van Lente, my husband, who's in the audience somewhere.
Fred Van Lente! Woo-hoo-hoo! Husband shout out.
And it's our second team. We've written some TV stuff together, too, that's being shopped around, but it's our second team up since the play King Kirby, about the life of Jack Kirby. And also a team up we had that actually helped me write Mary Max, which is I adapted Action Philosophers for the stage, which is where I first got adaptation. But Webtoon is really cool because they have so many great comics on there. They have like more story-oriented comics, more like just really funny, like My Giant Boyfriend is one of them, which is these kind of just relationship stories. And you know, they have like anime stuff, like, you know, it's like, ooh, you know, I've got to, you know, I've fallen in love with you, but I'm really a dragon or whatever, you know. So like a lot of great different kind of storytelling. The artwork is great. So it's really exciting. And there's a lot of cool people on it right now, like Riley Brown has a comic on there right now, a lot of our friends. And so we loved the idea of developing something for Webtoon, which is all free, by the way, so you just get the app or you can look at it online. And Eat Fighter is set in the near future, and where fast food has been banned. And Missy Barnes is rising in illegal underground food eating competitions.
Ah, cool.
Awesome. And she also seems to look like me.
Very much. Very much like Crystal.
Oh, what an accident that is.
She's intense and ambitious and crazy, so there we go.
Nice.
Who does the art for that?
Fernando Pinto.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So how often does that come out?
That comes out now at, is it Fred Friday at midnight? Or is it Saturday mornings? Yes.
Either way.
I see it on Saturday mornings. Yes. And really. And so that's ends once a week.
All right. Cool. Very cool. Definitely check both of those things out. The former one, if you're in Calgary, I guess, until it comes near you. And we're going to move on. Oh, actually, before we move on.
We have a special treat.
We have a special treat. I think we're going to do a musical number. from Mary and Max right
now. Yeah, a little musical number. This is exciting.
Yeah.
We busted out, dusted off the piano in the corner. We're really normally, using this theater space.
Normally on the show, Pete and I have to do a musical number from our musical.
Yeah.
But we can finally give that a rest this week.
It's about time.
Yes. There's only so many times I could sing that song about Punisher being in love with his guns.
Yeah. I don't like what you're trying to say in that musical.
I love my guns. I kiss them all.
Stop, Pete. We got real stuff going on.
Is he ready to sing?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I was trying to kill time.
I'd pay $100 to see that.
Thank you.
I love my guns. What was that? I liked it. I really liked it. I love my guns. I kiss them a lot.
Yeah, that's the whole
song. It's so much better than what
we
do.
All right, Barry Bax, everybody. Woo!
Okay.
All right, take
this is the finale of the show.
Ooh, exciting.
This is the character of Max. Turn around. I'm right behind you. Turn around, there's something that I need to say. Ooh. Turn around, I'm right behind you. Turn around, there's so much more we need to say. Like sidewalks, our sidewalks, they must walk on. When I was young, I wanted to be anyone but me. Just like you, that's why you and I see heart to heart. Human beings are imperfect. Human beings are endlessly illogical. Like sidewalks are sidewalks, they got walked on. Before you, the world was bewildering. With you, I can't be me. Without you, there's no meaning. The stars, they blink off beat. With you, the world's in balance. With you, I am complete. Look at us, atypically shaped. Look at us, each so unique yet the same. How I wish our sidewalks could meet. How I wish our direction was one and the same. Like sidewalks, our sidewalks, they can crisscross. Like sidewalks, our sidewalks, they will crisscross. Like sidewalks, our sidewalks must cross. You are my best. And you are my only friend. Warts and all, spots and all, love your American friend, Max.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Awesome. Are there any plans for a cast recording or anything like that?
We hope that is, yes.
It's interesting because I know we want to make some changes, and I know that a lot of people in Calgary after the show are asking where they can get a recording of it. And so I think, you know, a lot of it is money. Where do we want to put the money? And I don't feel like that's the right place yet.
Gotcha.
But we have a better demo recording because we're going to have the basically the sound from Calgary. So for us communicating about the show and sharing about the show, which is, I know that's weird, but almost to get the sound recording, you have to have better tracks of the actual music itself.
Right.
So,
and it's also, you know, we have an orchestra there. So to be able to pull it out is helpful instead of just me at a piano.
No, that was amazing.
That was beautiful, man. Really. It was awesome to be able to hear the last kind of song. And
yeah,
really, even I haven't seen anything, and I was very touched by that. So, congrats.
Well,
I
mean, now you know how it ends, so you don't need to see it.
There's one more scene.
There's one more spoiler.
You guys, it's like a Marvel movie.
Stay right after the credits.
Thank you again. That's
Thank
amazing.
You.
We're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, I'm going to come out to you guys, and you can ask absolutely anything. You can ask something for our amazing guests over here. You can ask something generally about comic books or life or whatever you want. Just raise your hand, and you're going to get some free comics, right?
Red. Comics or graphic novels.
Jesus Christ, are we doing this bit again?
No, we're not, you dick.
Oh, my God. All right, great. If you haven't been here in the past couple of weeks, Pete has been totally dick about this. It's been.
Oh, yeah, I'm the asshole.
I don't want to get into it. Okay, all right. Who has a question? You, sir, I see you raising your hand right over there. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
And now, of course, you guys joked about doing a Punisher musical.
Right.
If you could, and this is open to everybody, take any property for real, and it doesn't have to be a comic book, because we know some of the history of comic book musicals.
Right.
But any
Spider-Man After Dark. A lot of people died.
Oh, close. Yeah. Classic.
I'm calling it like I see it, guys. Don't get mad at me.
Well, I was also thinking the Superman musical.
Yes.
Oh, really? That
is actually bird, terrific. I will defend that show. They actually did a version of it where they rewrote the book, which was very problematic. Originally, Superman, his arch nemesis was a psychiatrist, so that wasn't great.
Wow.
But there's great songs in that show, and let's also remember it's the same team that did Bye Bye Birdie that did that show.
Oh, true. Okay. All right.
Wow. Well done.
If you could take any property and make it a musical, what would you take?
Great question. Do you guys have an answer to that? Any comic book property that you would want to make into a musical?
Oh, so many things.
I know we joked about the Punisher, but I mean the loss of his family, it just kind of lends itself to that kind of thing that musicals have where they're, you know, kind of singing about their emotions, but...
So like the first 5 minutes of a musical?
Yeah, and then just turn into a complete...
A bloodbath.
Yeah, exactly.
So great. I'm going to do a total fan thing. I feel like because my husband's in the audience as well. Archer and Armstrong.
Oh, yeah!
But also, I love Mouse Guard, and I think that would be really cute.
Oh...
Mouse Guard, this is a little bit of your, I don't know if you guys heard. First of all, read Mouse Guard. It's awesome.
Yes.
They're making it into a movie. Did you hear about the speed?
Wait.
Cool.
A movie? I thought it was a TV show. Is it a movie?
No. It's a movie. Fox is working on it.
Yeah, I saw Fox and I assumed TV show. But
yeah right now they got to cast the right mice and then they'll move on to the next steps.
But that's great. David Peterson's an amazing dude. I'm so happy that hopefully gets money from that.
Yeah. I work at a place where we write about TV and movies, and this news
Yeah,
broke.
You got a cool day job. We get
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is
my life is fucking great. I've got a family, and people who love me and care about me.
This news came out, and the news story just described it as like Game of Thrones, but with mice. And I was like, oh, shit, it's Mouse Guard. That's awesome. And I told everybody at work, I was like, yeah, that's Mouse Guard. And they're like, what, Game of Thrones with mice? And they laughed at me for like a half hour.
Wow.
It was really embarrassing.
Oh, man, I'm sorry that you had to go through that.
Yeah, so thanks for, you know, talking up my job when it's actually terrible. No, it's great. I love it. They laugh at me a lot.
Bobby, you had a thought.
Yeah, I am. One is a Japanese anime called Yuri on Ice.
Oh,
I think that would be a beautiful musical. And then there's a film that I love called Okja.
Okja would be an amazing musical.
With the super pig.
Yeah, would the pig...
We like weird, quirky stuff.
Yeah.
Would the pig be a puppet or people in costume? Or
probably in the world of King Kong, it would be a puppet.
No, yeah, I think it would have to
be a puppet. Oh, I haven't seen how they did King Kong because I keep passing by it. I'm like, really, King Kong?
I heard the puppet's amazing.
All right.
Really, I hear it's
Yeah, the video looks really beautiful. Really great, and we have some friends in it, but I think it is that moment where you're like, you used to always be like, Jaws a musical, King Kong a musical, and you're like, oh, that's happening.
Yeah. But doesn't it seem like a bad idea, though, to take King Kong and put him on display on a Broadway show? Because that's
run
the plot
rampant.
Of King Kong. Yeah, he's going to go
crazy. It's not going to go well. He's going to come out, and he's going to take somebody from the audience. He's going to go
climb
back,
the,
like, rampage.
Empire State
and,
Building, yeah.
But seems yeah, like a bad but, idea I, but I am excited to see the puppetry in it a lot.
Yeah. Just to throw it out there, the first thing that came to mind was Sandman. I feel like just because it is so weird and ethereal at points, and there's so many different ways that they could go with the plot, that might make a very interesting Broadway musical in particular. Great question. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get another question. Absolutely anybody, anything, anybody want to raise their hand? Anybody have a question? Comment? Complaint? You, sir, whatever your name is, why don't you come up here?
Uh-oh.
Come on down.
Oh, no.
Keep walking. Come on. What's your
here
name?
Comes,
what's your question?
Here comes my husband.
My name's Fred. I'm from Brooklyn.
Hey, Fred.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Ah, thanks, man. Thanks for the support.
And I've got a question. Is, you know, there's a famous musical trope called an I Want song. And so I was curious what Batman's I Want song would be in the hypothetical Batman musical. And if you could improv as much of that as you could, preferably multiple stanzas.
This is all I can see right now is the fact, and this really did happen, and I told Fred, who just asked that question, because he lives in my house, because he's my husband. Spoilers. I was running around the piers in Brooklyn today, and I'm not kidding you, Batman came by in a jet ski.
Wait, what?
Yeah. It was a guy in a full Batman outfit. And
on
he went
a jet ski.
On a jet ski.
That's weird. In my neighborhood in Weehawken, New Jersey, there's a guy on a bike who always is dressed as Batman. I wonder if it is the same person.
Maybe they're related.
Well, he can't.
I'm not kidding. I see him every day on his bike in his Batman outfit.
If he can't ride a bike in water, so it makes sense that he move on to a jet ski at a certain point.
What would his song be?
Yeah, did you come up with a song for Batman? Is that what happened?
Yeah. Well, what would the song? I mean, what for Batman? You know.
What does he want?
To get out of the dark.
I think that's what I was thinking. Something about light.
Oh, wait, turn off the dark. That was Spider-Man.
Yeah. I think he likes the dark. I think he maybe he would want his parents back, I think.
Yeah, a family.
What if he wants to just be normal?
Yeah, it could be.
He wants to be normal.
Does he just want to be, I mean, is there, I don't know. Does he, is he interested in being Bruce Wayne at all? Because I think once I was babysitting, and I feel like this kid put it the best, I was making them watch the old Batman, the animated.
Oh, nice. Yeah, animated series, Kevin
Conroy. I'm like, listen, kids, you got to learn. Like, oh, my God.
Nice.
And they're like, the kid was 10 at the time, and he goes, Bruce Wayne, he just loves them, and he throws them away, like, about all his girlfriends. I was like, that's very astute, young Alessandro. But, yeah, there is something interesting about, like, I always feel like Peter Parker has such a relationship with, like, oh, this is such a struggle with who I am in real life and who I want to be. And I just feel like, and even Superman, although is DC, you know, like, still with Clark Kent, I feel like there's no struggle between Bruce Wayne and Batman.
I think listeners have probably figured it out by now, but people, just to take a big, massive step back, for those who don't know musical theater, what is an I Want song?
Oh, that's good,
describe that?
It's usually the second or third song in a piece that, sometimes it's in the opening, that lets us in on what the overall objective of the character is. They usually get that at some point, and then that objective changes to something even greater than they thought.
What about a new cape? Maybe he wants a new cape.
Batman's want is to stop crime in Gotham, then.
He wants peace.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
A peaceful city.
But when he gets it, he wouldn't be happy because...
He wouldn't have a job.
He wouldn't have a job.
Yeah, and then he wouldn't have to fake being Bruce Wayne.
Or does he want cooler toys in his cave?
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. What if his I Want song is I Want a Larger Penny in my cave?
Okay. Now, the penny came from that was Two-Face, right? Is that right?
Yeah. There you go. This is great. If anybody wants to pick up our musical, just let us know. You're going to get some free comics, I guess. You, sir, what's your name? What's your question?
Hi. My name is Jefferson. I'm wondering about the cast because, just full disclosure, I'm friends with Bobby and Crystal.
Thanks for coming clean on that. Appreciate it.
Totally. The reason I say this is because I know people in the cast. Yes. I'm wondering, moving forward, mm-hmm. will those people be in the cast of the next production, or is it individual?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Show?
Are you guys going to go all big time in Hollywood and get like? Are you going to try to keep the people who made it popular?
And if you could, you could list the names of the actors who were the worst who are going to get fired, that would be great.
So
if
we
could start there.
We brought to Canada 4 American actors that had been developing the piece for a while. The production that we can't say where it's happening, that is international, they will not be a part of that. They will, I mean, look, I'm just going to be honest with you. We're just writers. We don't have that power to make those decisions. We can fight.
But in that case, with the production you're talking about, that is with an international company, production theater, really cool theater that we can't mention, so I'm trying to go around that. But that their artistic director is directing that, so it's a different team.
Correct.
So in terms of this team, we spent a lot of time thinking about those 4 people that came over. For instance, Lauren Elder's been with the piece from the very beginning and developed it. Nick Adams, we've just seen how he shines in the piece. Anthony Galdi stole our hearts, and I have to say, is just every night on that as Max. Just, I mean, it's a riveting performance. It's really incredible. God, what am I blanking on? And Chase Crandall. But so I think as it goes forward, you know, there's been nothing but praise and love and adoration for them, and they've done such incredible work. So we don't have the answers for the next production with that particular team, but we know we are.
Yeah, because a commercial producer could come in and say, you know, we want Rebel Wilson to play the lead. I'm going to get in trouble by saying what I really want to say, but you know, you got to sell tickets.
Yeah.
And I get it. We didn't write it to sell tickets, but we understand that if someone is going to produce the show, that is the ultimate goal. You know, Theatre Calgary is a nonprofit theater, so it's a different type of a venture for us. Nice. Once that commercial producer gets involved, whole different ball game.
I will say the piece is somehow attracted, I think because it's so much about kindness and friendship, just an incredible energy that if you want to do the show, you're in line with the same feelings and,
yes.
and you know, doing it for the right reasons.
I mean, we're all about loyalty. Believe me, we want those people. You should hear Chase sing that score. Oh, my God. Amazing.
Although Chase is he's a little like, this is great and I'm a star and I'm the moon. He's like, but I'm never gonna do musical theater again after this. I'm taking on a new career in life. He even posted that on Instagram.
Yeah, he did.
Then that makes people chase him even more. So that's why his name's Chase.
This is this kid that he has one of those voices that he opens his mouth and whether you're gay, straight, whatever, you just go, what? Wow. Oh my God. And it's just this thing that's like a Pied Piper.
Wow.
Awesome. Cool. Great question. You're going to get some free comics, and I think that's it for your audience questions.
Thank you, guys.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Good questions.
All right. We're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia, and for that, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Pete LePage.
All right. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like $25 free? And if you had $25, we know you go to a comic book shop, so it's a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics.
Anybody, you literally have to walk on stage and you'll be handed $25.
All right, yes, you first hand up guy, come on down.
Yeah. Come over here, please.
Great, and what is your name, Pablo? Great. Pablo, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all 3 possible answers, get all 3 questions right. $25 will be yours.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Nice shirt, by the way.
Thank you very much. Made it myself. All right, here we go. Today's trivia is on Mary and Max, which I can't wait to fly to Calgary and see. I'm all in.
Oh, me too.
You want to go, dude? Yeah, we're going. You're in, Booth Man. Come on, bro. All right, here we go. The new musical play is based on an Australian blank. Is it A, claymation film, B, poem, or is it C, Snagglepuss? So it's either A.
I don't think Snagglepuss is even Canadian, so that's A.
A is correct. That's right, a claymation film, which I am going to go see on YouTube after this. Here we go. Who saw the claymation film and knew it had to be a musical? Is it A, Crystal, B, Bobby, or is it C, Kirby? So it's either A, don't do it, or it's B.
Definitely a B.
That is correct. Here we go. Speaking of Bobby, he's quoted as saying, "Mary and Max is a much needed reminder of the importance of blank." Is it A, human connection, B, good penmanship, or is it C, the Pink Ranger? So it's either A, if you would like $25, or you could pick something else.
It's got to be A.
A is correct. Human connection, Pablo. Congratulations.
What was the theme with those? Usually you have a theme with
there
the
is a theme. Is Can it? You figure it out, though?
So
is
the Snagglepuss.
What? He's got it.
Wait.
They're pink. They're pink! That's they're pink. Right! All three of them are pink!
Oh, Kirby! Oh, that Kirby.
Yeah.
I thought you meant Jack Kirby.
No, I didn't say Jack. You put right. that in there. All that right. was your own addition.
Jack Kirby was the comic book artist that could eat stuff and gain its powers.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right. He also was pink, so, I mean...
All right, so I should have figured that
out. Yeah, you should figure that out.
Guys, we all know tomorrow is new comic book day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
A lot
over
of great
there?
Stuff coming out. Yeah? Punisher number 3 is coming out. I'm very excited about that.
Oh, do you like the Punisher?
I do.
Great.
I'm staring at my shrine. For those listening at home. Also, Moon Knight number 200. It's a big issue. I'm excited to see what that's about.
Yeah. That is, I believe, Max Bemis's last issue on the title
as
well.
Sad.
He's been doing a fantastic job with it. So that's a bummer.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
No problem. I'm looking forward to the Backstagers Halloween special is coming out tomorrow.
Is that because you did a lot of theater in high school and college?
I did a lot of theater in high school and college. This is a fun all-ages book by James Tynion IV about a stage crew who guards a mystical portal that lets weird things into the theater. It's a lot of fun.
Theater is a weird place.
It's great. It's also very inclusive. There's a lot of LGBT characters in it. We have a regular podcast that goes up Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. We'll have a review of that and a bunch of other titles that are coming out tomorrow, so do check that out. Plug your stuff again, guys. What should people be checking out?
Eat Fighter on Webtoon launches every Saturday by myself, Crystal Skillman, and Fred Van Lente. Fly into Calgary and see Mary and Max, the musical.
Yeah.
But if not, follow
Let's
our
do
progress.
It.
Mary Max is on Instagram. It's we're on Twitter, and we are on Facebook. So follow our progress.
Cool.
All right. That's it.
Okay, great.
Well, you have something.
Nothing
you have a
to
musical
add.
Coming up.
You're yeah, working? I do. I head off to San Diego next week for another project.
Ooh, can you tell us what it is?
Or? Sure. It's real happy. It's called Till Death Do Us Part. It's about a murder.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Oh, man.
All right, very cool.
And a marriage, it seems like, right?
Yes. It's technically about what is the role of a woman in modern religion.
Oh, shit.
That sounds more serious.
Yes.
Okay. Guys, a couple of things we want to plug before we go. This show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. So if you would like to subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/comicbookclub, and get a bunch of free bonuses. I don't know why I keep saying free.
Yep.
Like you can get our private Slack. We have a dedicated Patreon-only podcast that you can get every week. Also, we do a couple of other podcasts, the ones that are running right now. We have a Riverdale podcast called Riverdale After Dark that runs every week after the show. Also, starting this week, we're going to be launching a Chilling Adventures of Sabrina podcast, tying it to the Netflix show. We've taped the first couple of episodes of what? What, Pete?
It seems like we're doing too much.
Speak for yourself.
All right. I am. Yeah. I am speaking for myself.
Okay, there we go. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Woo! Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Also our website, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Crystal and Bobby for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Boothman Prime. Woo! But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks for coming out, everybody. We really appreciate it.